No, 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 no! We can't just leave him out there!
No, it's Tony!
Get Ludo me!
We gotta do it now!
I don't care!
Dude! Stop!
I can't lose him, please!
He's gonna lose you! You understand? We'll find him as soon as we can. But you know what we gotta do.
Okay.
You know what happened to me? I made it all right. Yeah? This is the hardest part, okay? You are so loved, Lydia. We're gonna get you through this, okay? I'm sorry.
Hey Zed Heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And this is The Walking Dead Cast, episode 491.
And this episode, we're covering The Walking Dead, season 11, episode 23, Family.
And it's weird because we're looking at each other.
We're in the same place.
We usually are looking at each other, but from several thousand miles away.
We are in the same place. Yay. It's very weird. I am in California.
Yay! And it's like 10 p.m. for you.
Yeah, I'm so jet lagged.
I hope you can make it through.
Oh my god, I will make even more less sense than usual. Even less sense than usual, but
that was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're here for the, I gotta say it, penultimate episode of The Walking Dead. And I watched the preview for the finale, and then at the end it said Walking Dead series finale, and it I think hit me for the first time when I saw that. I was like getting kind of choked up, you know.
Yeah, the first watch through of this was just in my living room, and I was like, oh, this is good episode. And then my second watch through was on the plane, and apparently you're more likely to get emotional on a plane anyway for various reasons, and I got emotional on the plane about—
Why do you get more emotional on a plane?
I don't know. There's some science about it. It's like you're mad, deprived of oxygen, and mostly drunk, or at least I am.
Maybe you're extra, more oxygen.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it was a very extra emotional rewatch.
Did it feel like— it did feel like coming to the end of the series with that cliffhanger. I mean, we'll get into it, but if they all die, then the next episode's going to be kind of boring.
Yeah, right.
All right, so that's what it is. It's The Walking Dead season 11, episode 23, Family. What did you think of this one?
Really good return to form. Like, yeah, I wish all eight of them had been like this, but generally just great energy, great timing, left me wanting more. Classic Walking Dead moments in there. Yeah, I loved it.
So are you kind of feeling like other people that it's not been as good lately now?
Not that it's not been as good, but I feel it hasn't been series finale good. I feel like we've been feeling that maybe they were writing some of this without realizing it was going to be the last season.
Uh-huh.
Whereas this felt more like, right, we're really building up.
The end.
And I think I heard off air that Angela Kang admitted they had been saving budget on previous episodes for the final two. And I'm like,
right,
okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Some of the decisions.
And then that makes it exciting for the final one.
Right.
90 minute big budget.
Yes.
Or bigger budget anyway.
Mini film.
I thought it was pretty awesome. I loved that the zombies are a big part of what's happening right now at the end here, and that they feel pretty threatening. I mean, a good way to make zombies feel threatening in my book is to have there be a whole bunch of them in an enclosed space, you know? So, and then this added variant factor is pretty damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple dumb things, though.
I mean, there always are.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you be disappointed if we didn't pick it apart a little bit?
I meant to go back and watch the end of episode 22 because I thought that Aaron and Jerry and everyone had just arrived at Alexandria. Mm-hmm. But now they're like, what? Have they been walking for 3 weeks? Like,
they walked 400 miles whispering.
No wonder what they're the all fuck? Looking so haggard. They're like, we've been walking for 400 miles.
Yeah. Because, you know, last time when, or was it last episode or the one before when they were having to hide?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the Commonwealth, the troopers were flashing their lights in there to look for them.
Yes.
And same. Other people were saying, no, I think they're hurting the Zeds. And I think that turned out to be right. Mm-hmm. They were enacting, what is it, B-17, Plan B-17, I guess.
Yeah.
But what the hell, like, I don't think Oceanside is anywhere near the Commonwealth.
Like, what the fuck? Those poor guys, they've been walking for so long. Like,
that would be 400 miles.
That would literally be.
It's not.
Walking from Ohio to, or no, from Virginia to Ohio? Like, yeah, what the fuck?
Right. Maybe Oceanside is a little closer, but it's not that much closer, right?
Oceanside's actually really nearby.
So, I mean, unless you and I are both missing something, I'm glad you're not like, what do you mean, stupid? It's because of this.
No,
It's like, they're just sort of being like, oh, well, I guess they're being like, I hope the audience will forgive this. They can't be thinking they hope we won't notice, right?
No,
that makes
really
me feel
like,
kind of angry. Like, do you think we're that dumb? Like, I think it's more like, you guys have a department of suspension disbelief, right?
Yeah, let's just do that. I'm just a bit like, why did you take them there? Only, well, like, anyway.
You know, you don't have to go 400 miles away to find a bunch of zombies.
No, and
you
I was
can
just a
find
bit
them
like,
all over the place. That's kind of what this is. It's the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, because like when you were talking there, I was like, oh well, maybe more time passed in Alexandria than we realized, and like it's been a couple of weeks. But even then, like. Say that was true, which it's not, because you, Rosita's like, we got to go quickly. How are they napping? Are they just like napping on Zeds and being pushed along?
It makes
gently?
No sense that they would go that far to get zombies. B-17 means go to Virginia.
Yeah.
And get the zombies there because they're the special ones.
That was my main, like everything else, I was sort of like, I'll forgive it.
I have
like
one
anything.
More really dumb thing, but we'll get to
you
it.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that was the biggest one. I was like, what
yeah,
the fuck?
Me too.
Where geographically are they? There was a cool on, is it TV Insider? One of the outlets covering the show has done a really cool map of the Commonwealth to map where the threats are coming from and what we're facing in the final episode. It's really, really interesting to look at because I didn't really understand how it was laid out. But that is available, but it does not mention
the
anything.
Commonwealth itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently they released a map, in the last couple of weeks, and
that's
someone's
cool.
mapped out where people got in, where the storm's coming and things like that. Swarm.
I'm getting a little bit more of a feel of the size of the Commonwealth now that we have the lower wards and we're seeing more of overhead shots of the wall in the distance and stuff like that.
And the estates.
And less of the one street.
Yeah. The one street where everything happens.
Yeah. All right. Would you like to go first?
Yes. For me, I think I want to start with talking about classic Walking Dead, because this felt like a classic Walking Dead return to form, because we had the fight and the cost is what Judith talks about in her intro. And the fight is obviously against the Commonwealth, but also now this herd. And the cost, well, yeah, we see a lot of the cost in this episode for Lydia, possibly for Jerry, who I'm not feeling very optimistic about at the moment. Per Tyler, RIP Tyler.
I didn't even catch that. He died?
Yeah, he was it was very red shirty. He's like runs out ahead of everyone in Union Station. He's like, come on, guys.
Oh no.
Just gets shot down. I was like, oh yeah, wow. That was pretty obviously gonna happen.
Cheat, man. Just
I know.
Kill off the young guy
side
characters.
He's like, I'm gonna be okay. But it had the whole episode had the feel of like the calm before the storm, and I really like that. It reminds me two things it tends to remind me of: the episodes of Game of Thrones before big battles were usually very good because you would get some interesting character moments, and then in the second Lord of the Rings film, The Two Towers, where they're waiting at Helm's Deep for the attack to come. So I'm always a sucker for like everyone's there waiting just for something to happen or on their way to something, and I think the train scenes really sold that. And there were some nice callbacks to previous characters, particularly to do with Judith. Mm-hmm. And I felt the energy and the chaos of the Zeds and the threat coming from both within and out with the Commonwealth were just very classic show, and that gives me faith that the finale might be good.
Yeah, I have a good feeling about the finale.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. Don't want to get expectations up too high that it's going to make us feel totally fulfilled with this series. But as far as being a good episode of The Walking Dead, I have a pretty good feeling it'll be that.
You know? This really made me think they understand what we're looking for and they're going to try and get us there. And that meant a lot to me at this stage. And I think it made for a really good episode.
Yeah. My number one is Judith's voiceover. As I've been saying, these kind of do three things: iconic Walking Dead moments, a theme of The Walking Dead, and then how it's specifically related to this episode. So for The Walking Dead moments, it's a lot of fighting zombies they're showing, but more it's about the weapons and items in this big chest. And those have been such a big part of The Walking Dead, just kind of like one item. You can see the crossbow and think of Daryl. It's it's part of his identity, you know? And what's his name? Aaron's mace hand. Each character is associated with his or her weapon and other items like Daryl's vest or Rick's hat, of course, which became associated with Carl and then Judith and now passed on to RJ.
We love you, RJ.
And the theme is about aiming for something in life beyond just survival. And at first some of that is about enjoying life, but in more recent seasons, especially when Angela Kang took over, it's become also about expanding society. You know, when they adopted that constitution and formalized working together. Yeah, the charter. Yeah, that's what I meant. And formalized the communities working together and stuff like that. What to strive for as a community. So there's a lot about that. And then what it related to specifically in this episode, well, it's the first time one of these Judith voiceovers has actually been about what's on her mind.
Yes.
And I have a feeling, because I've read that they've tried different permutations of these voiceovers. It wasn't always Judith, maybe, but I bet you if they had just done like different characters doing them, that this one was Judith's voiceover.
Oh, it has to be,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's like my mom, Lori.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, if it was Ezekiel saying that, that'd be weird.
Yeah, I know. My mom.
Never met my mom.
Lori. Lori Grimes.
So, she's thinking about the bigger picture and what comes next and what to strive for based on what her family's done and being the one to carry on the legacy of her family and their ideals and stuff like that. So here's the voiceover. She says, "For the longest time, we were just fighting to survive, trying to get back what we lost. And we see this case of weapons with bow staff, you know, a katana, machete, the gun. And then as each weapon gets pulled out, we see the person using it first, Rosita, chopping that one's head right in half." Then she goes, "This family, my family," and Gabriel's hacking Zeds, Magnus sticking one in the head. "We would do anything to protect each other. And we're fighting now for something else. We see Kelly with her slingshot, something bigger. We see Princess with her machine gun, Ezekiel slicing at a Zed. I think Negan whacking one with a crowbar. Was that Negan?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it was.
She says, "A new beginning." Then we see Maggie, we see Aaron tightening his mace hand, but that comes with a cost. Then we see Jerry slashing at one and Lydia practicing with the bow staff.
Nice combination of cost and two people that are possibly going to be the cost.
Yeah, maybe. We see Eugene stabbing one in the head, I think with a screwdriver, but I'm not sure. Yumiko with her arrow. She says, "There's always a cost." Then Carol pulling back her arrow, Daryl aiming his crossbow right at our face.
Nuts.
And shooting us in the face. That was pretty cool. And then we see what's left in the box is Rick's gun, which makes me feel like, okay, cool. Rick's coming up, right?
Right.
You wouldn't
He's gonna be
tease
here,
us
right?
like that.
Right.
And then I think there's the small blade. Did Michonne give Judith like a smaller katana or what?
Yeah, Judith has a little katana.
Okay, so that's
that explains hers. Something to me because I was like, that katana got small. But yeah, no, she got her own mini katana.
That's
from
what
Michonne.
It was. Yeah. And she takes that. And she's talking about cost. And I think this whole episode's supposed to make us wonder if she's dead. If she's going to die. I don't think so.
No, they're not going to kill Judith off.
I'm like 99%. There's that 1%.
What a bummer. Like, if we go down the road of, she dies, what a fucking bum note to end the season on. Like, oh, end the series on even. You just think, no.
They wouldn't do it.
They couldn't.
I don't think so. She goes, I never got to know my mom, Lori. My brother Carl dreamed of a day when we'd all live together in peace. My mom, Michonne, tried to hang up her sword. So this is all about hoping for peace for the future. And she straps the blade on herself. She says, my dad, Rick, was searching for mercy. Then she pulls out Rick's gun. And me, well, I guess I'm a Grimes too.
I'm searching for stuff.
I just want to kill. No, I'm just kidding. And she sheaths the gun in the holster on her belt. I keep thinking about something my mom told me. She pulls out this charter. A secret saying she used to share with my dad. She rolls it up, puts it in her pack. Do you know what the secret saying is?
Stuff. Stuff and things. She would lean into my dad and say, stuff and things.
A secret saying she used to share with my dad. What? No, I think it's we don't die. Yeah, we're the ones who live.
I think it's that. They don't pinpoint it in the episode, but I'm pretty sure it's that.
And they don't say it because they don't want us to know. It's a clue that she's going to live. That's what I think.
Exactly.
It was a good, like a good luck charm. She pulls out some picture that some kid drew. Was that RJ's?
It might be she drew it of her and Carl. Okay. I don't remember, but I think we've seen it before. Yeah.
She says, for me and RJ too. Then RJ comes in. I was afraid to say it out loud. I was afraid to say so many things out loud. She picks up the sheriff's hat. But we didn't know when we started this. She puts it on RJ's head that this would be the day everything changed forever. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to make this sound kind of ominous.
Yeah.
And passing the hat on to RJ is a little ominous.
Like, oh, that is definitely.
He's going to have to be the one to carry on the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy it for 1 second, but I thought it was a great... I like featuring the iconic items because really been trying to feature different aspects of The Walking Dead scenes, themes, etc. Mm-hmm. And just recognizing what we all know that these items, I mean, the only thing they didn't have in there was Negan's bat, but that just would be kind of weird for that.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, let's bring this up. No.
She throws it in the trash.
Yeah. This piece of shit.
Some of us are pieces of shit. No, so that's all I had on that.
Oh, and I thought it was a great intro. It really set the tone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even mentioning Lori, man, that was a flashback. Right. We don't really get to mention her. And I like that because that indicates that Judith, like, knows about her
about
mom.
About her.
But also, like, no one's mentioned Shane.
I know. She didn't say anything about that. And also, I mean, the point, I think, was to show about carrying on the Grimes legacy. So pointing out that Carl wanted peace and Rick was talking about mercy. So then it's sort of like, well, she mentions Lori, but only to say, I didn't really know her. So anyway.
Yeah. And my dad, Shane, is a villainous piece of trash. Next thing.
And when she said, I guess I'm a Grimes too, I was like, I guess, but not biologically.
Yeah, I'm like, you're Shane, I mean, sort of, last name?
Walsh.
Walsh. Is it Walsh? Okay, right. Shane Walsh. Yeah, I'm a Walsh Grimes.
Mm-hmm. Due to the Walsh Grimes.
Awkward.
She's gotta go for that. Okay, what do you got next?
I have a sub point, which is just Diane.
Yay!
I love her.
I'm surprised she wasn't one of the red shirts. A little bit.
Diane has to live, man.
She's the archer, great. By the way, who
she's fantastic.
Was in Hilltop a lot, and then earlier this season was one of the first ones to go, sorry, Maggie, I like the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
I liked her character.
We love Diane. Yeah. Love to see her. Mm-hmm. I'll follow on with Judith because we're kind of on a Judith-y sort of thing. Okay. Judith and her family and her storyline in this episode. And if I wasn't so sure that I don't think she's going to die, I would be worried because this was scary. And very, very parallel with Carl getting shot by Otis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was very knowing. I think that's something that Angela Kang had in mind. She said as much in the post show. But there were a couple of moments with Judith that I thought were just brilliant. And the voiceover was one of them. I'm interested to know your thoughts on this. Do you think they were right to let Judith come with them?
Fuck no.
Yeah, okay, good.
Come on.
That is such bad parenting.
Ridiculous.
And the line that they gave Carol was so badly written. Like, what was it? It was like, we've spent so much time thinking about what's behind us, we can't try and think about the future. And I'm like, yeah, so take the kid with you to obviously die.
I mean, that line, she said, we've all been focused on what's right in front of us for so long. And we're like, well, you have, Carol.
Yeah.
Somebody recently said we should focus on the future. I can't remember who that was. But
'twas the king, Lance Hornsby. He said this.
And then, yeah, like you thinking about what's after, that's a good thing. Maybe we could all do a little more of that. And then Daryl's like, all right, but you stay right with me, okay? I'm like, yeah. Just because she's thinking about the future doesn't mean it's a good idea to take her into a war zone.
No, just
she's 12 years old.
Just because your child has achieved like some kind of sentience of like, oh yeah, things have consequences. Don't take them to a war zone. Like,
oh,
that's
you made a good point. Why didn't you come with us to fight?
Awful parenting. And see, if she did die, Daryl should feel guilty because that was terrible.
As soon as I saw that and I'm like, wow, that's bad. And then she gets shot. And I'm like, see what happens, you doof?
Awful. I was like, Daryl, don't get me wrong. We all love that you're a surrogate dad, but you're a terrible parent.
Yeah. And Carol goes along with it. But I mean, you'd think she'd be a little more protective towards kids.
Yeah.
But I think the point was to get us to this place so we could have a big dramatic moment with Judith. And they didn't know how to do it in a way that made sense. So that's one thing The Walking Dead over the years has done a lot. They know where they want to get to, but the way they get there isn't always
also
reasonable.
Where the fuck were the kids? Because when we ended last week, we didn't know. It's like, where's Judith? And Hersh is like, I don't know. And now we're like, oh, here they are.
Well, wait, RJ's there too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because at the beginning of this episode, they were asking Tyler about the kids, right?
Yeah.
And he's saying...
that made me laugh because Gabriel says to him, you got to go and find out. And Tyler's like, yeah. And then he goes to walk off and I'm like, is he going to look it up on Wikipedia? Like, where is he going to get this information from? Because
then they do know after that.
Did he just like shout like, Wikipedia. Hey, Jim, do you know where the kids? And Jim's like, they're in B23. And he's they're in B23.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
But anyway, that's their mission to get the kids. So we know they're missing Coco still.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen Gracie, right?
No, Gracie was there.
Oh, she
was with Nabila. Yeah.
Maybe it's just the babies, Adam and Coco.
I'm wondering if... Adam. No one's mentioning Adam. I wonder if the babies don't travel.
Yeah.
Like they keep the babies in the Commonwealth crash or whatever.
Okay.
But it again, just like for all the thing last week of like, oh my God, we found Herschel, but where's everyone else?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're
just
here.
And then they just show up. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because Rosita does say we searched everywhere. Like
deleted
we searched every
scene.
Place. It's just like... Oh, well, no worries. Here they are. They turned up. Yep. But that aside, that terrible, terrible decision aside, I enjoyed her scene in the train car with Carol and Daryl. I thought it was very sweet.
Yeah.
I thought those were two of the people that have been constants in her life. They're also two people that knew her as a bump, I guess. Like, they knew Rick and Laurie before Judith even, like, came to exist. Or Shane and Laurie. And seeing the three of them share that was lovely, and Daryl saying one day I'll tell you about everyone who ever loved you. But again, if this was, you know, a movie, I'd be like, wah wah, that's never happening. That's the kind of thing say to somebody like John,
especially Walking Dead.
Oh
that
yeah,
a lot.
And like
another
John,
ominous thing.
It's so like Jon Snow in Game of Thrones when Ned starts like, one day we will talk about your mother, but not today. And then it's like, yeah, okay, never gonna happen.
But this is, I believe, they know that we know that, so they're actually going to, he is going to tell her at some point. You know
I
what
think
I mean?
So. And I think the references to Carl in particular were really nice. I felt that was a nice tribute to that character.
Yeah.
I wondered how much Judith probably remembers Carl and Rick. Probably a little.
Yeah, I mean, we saw them have scenes when
she was
about
three
running
or four
around. Yeah. And
so
she's young. I mean, I know that I used to remember things like from grade school and stuff when I was younger, but now that I'm older, I don't remember anything. So I think when you're 12 years old, you could probably remember.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about how much of your life that is, that's only like two quarters. The shot, that scene of her getting shot was so powerful and so dramatic, and Daryl screaming, no! And oh my God, Maggie's face. Someone make a gif of that face, because it was like, since Maggie's come back, Maggie's been quite hardened and quite weary and not very shockable. But her face in that moment when she sees Judith getting shot is unbelievable. And then I'm like, fuck yeah, Maggie delivered Judith. Maggie was like there.
That's right.
She like bloody held her, was the first person to hold her when she was born. So to see that moment and to see the look of horror on everyone's faces, even Pamela Milton being like, oh no, I've shot a child. Yeah, duh.
You did this. I mean, she knows She's like, fuck, does this make me look bad?
Right. This is terrible PR. The footage was doctored. The child ran into the frame. And you're like, did she? Well, actually, she did. To be fair, she did run into the
shot. She did run into the frame.
Sorry, yeah. Pamela, it wasn't fake news.
Because when Pamela first picked up her gun, my first thought was, well, at least she's getting her hands dirty. Oh, crap.
She yeah. But not like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that leaves us leading up to the cliffhanger with the gang.
If I was Lauren Cohan in that scene, just as a joke, when Judith got shot and it was my turn to do my reaction, I'd be like, I told you not to bring him.
Yeah. Bring her. This is terrible parenting. For fuck's sake,
Herschel's
Darren.
Back at home.
Herschel's at home and he sucks. Like, he's really bad at listening to instructions. Like,
he's probably in the train car in the back of
the... He's not out here getting fucking shot. Because, yeah, even when they're like waiting... This was another slight disadvantage of disbelief for me, but I'll allow it, is that this massive group of them are waiting behind, like, maybe two trees watching stormtroopers. Like, I don't think they've seen us. I'm like, there's literally 20 of you, and these four troopers are just like, oh, I don't see if I can see anyone. Around. And Judith's like,
there's
I think
like
we're
one
clear.
Vine covering.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, Judith says we're clear, so we're going to do it. And I'm like, she's 12. She's amazing, but she's 12.
Yeah, and there's probably some people are going, but she's such a badass. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, yes, you need to teach her to defend herself when it becomes necessary, but mm-hmm. you don't bring her into a battle plan like
no,
that.
No, you absolutely don't. And I think having the group band together to save Judith's life is a really nice theme to be running into the final episode with. It's like preserving her, because in lieu of Carl or Rick being there, she's the last, oh no, RJ's there too, the kind of keeping the Grimes legacy alive. That's the most important thing they could be doing, is protecting the future in that way. So it was cool.
Yeah, don't snuff it out.
Right, hard, the yeah.
Then have Rick show up and just get shot in the head.
Yeah, that would be very...
End.
If they'd stayed with Frank Darabont, it could have happened. Like, in the mist. That's what happens
that's
in the
right.
mist. That, yeah.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Episode 3, or 2 of our podcast, or 3. Is about the mist.
Yeah, it's so if Darabont had stayed, it might have been different. But yeah, all in all, I thought this was Judith's episode, and she did great. And I think Kaylee Fleming is wonderful in that role. I have such a soft spot for her because she looks really like a kid I used to babysit for, who I really liked. But she's just fab, really, really good. They couldn't have asked for better when it came to casting Judith. And yeah, I hope that we will see her next week. I'm sure we will. Yeah. Oh, and of course, looking up at Daryl and saying "Daddy" was very OTT, but also very emotional, and it did make me sad. So
yeah. Wait, oh, on the nose. Yeah. Oh wait, what's OTT?
Over the top. Yeah.
She's great too. Kaylee Fleming. I've done panels with her, and she's just as entertaining and smart as you think she'd be.
Well, there's
she's
that
older
amazing,
than she looks. Too,
yeah, so. She must be 15 or 16 by this point. There's an amazing picture someone took at a con of Sarah Wayne Callies with Kaylee and
I think it was
Chandler.
On the cruise.
They look great. They look like a family. It's
and
really
they
cute.
Had just met. Too,
yeah, they look so happy and sweet together.
All right. So I'll talk a little. Let me just talk a little bit about Judith, and I'll go on to my point. I liked how on his way out, you know, Daryl's like, okay, you can come along, and then just kind of casually pushes RJ towards Nabila on the way out. You want to watch him? Okay, good.
Yeah,
cool.
Okay, bye, RJ.
I'm like, shit, why not just take him too? I'm sure he wants a peaceful society.
Yeah, I know. Which of your children wants a peaceful society?
Just bring them all. We need bodies.
Yeah.
Carol tells Judith she and Carl are a lot alike, and I'm like, yeah, they're both good-hearted kids, capable,
never
courageous,
staying inside,
never staying where they should be. Judith is feels more formidable to me, but not by much.
Well, she didn't know the world before. I think with Carl, he was, what, 8 or 9 when the apocalypse started, so
she's
still remembers.
Alive, so.
Yeah, and she's still alive, so someone survived better.
Somebody just unsubscribed, I'm sure. Sorry.
Yeah. sorry, Chandler.
I wish Carl was I wish Carl was still on the show.
Yeah.
She says she wish she had more time with him. When they go through like the sewers, I guess, or whatever, they're into City Hall, and then they get ambushed. I think that's because Mercer's spy figured out what's going on, and
I think Pamela figured it out. Yeah,
okay. And I'm just like, here's Daryl firing a machine gun at a bunch of other guys, and Judith is just hanging out beside him. I'm like, is this what you had in mind? Because it's kind of inevitable.
Awful, awful parenting.
Then when you asked me that, did you think there was a chance I was going to be like, yeah, sure, it's fine.
You know, as a parent, I think it's important to let your children express their own boundaries. I'm like, so I think it's fucking dumb.
You have to see what lights them up and encourage them to go out and try it.
We call it experiential play. I'm like, okay.
Then when Daryl's carrying Judith at the end, that was like Rick with Carl after Otis accidentally shot him.
Yeah.
And they're surrounded by Zeds on all sides, and Carol says, go down the alley, and he makes it in, and she wakes up and goes, Daddy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really amazing, because I've been saying, he is her daddy now.
Yeah.
And he has had a big part in her life. He named her Little Ass Kicker when she was born. Mm-hmm. I think that he went to get her formula at one point early on. He's the one who's taking care of her now. That's like the most important thing. And when everyone else is either dead or taken or left. But also it could just be that she was disoriented from having been shot and thought it was Rick.
Yeah.
Or a little bit of both, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's ambiguity there. Mm-hmm. Also, you vaguely see Negan in the shot when she says it, so I'm like, oh, that's confusing.
Daryl's all aw, and she goes, no, I meant him.
Him, Negan, Daddy. It's like, oh, love God, him. There's probably
he's so charming.
Oh, he's so nice.
You guys are too hard on him.
He's always been really nice to me. He likes kids. Like, okay, we get it. We get it.
That time he almost killed Carl. I really hope she's, I'm like I said, 99.9%. She'll survive, and I hope she'll go to France with Daryl. I think that would be cool.
I mean, after that, they're going to need a family vacation.
So I want to go do a fresh point, though, and that's Lydia.
Lydia. Oh, Lydia.
So Pamela invokes Plan B-17. We see the Commonwealth troopers in Jeeps herding these Zeds, and it's Aaron, Jerry, Lydia, Elijah, Luke, and Jules with guts on them. And somehow having walked 430 miles or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, just endured like more than I think any human should or could endure without food, sleep, or rest. But fine. Okay.
They're like, can we rest? No.
No.
Gotta keep going.
Keep going.
I loved that they were whispering, though.
Oh, that was like awesome. That,
to the trees.
So good.
That was really cool, using the techniques of the whispers. They decide to go into this RV, and who got in? Jerry and Aaron, I think, and maybe Lydia, but Elijah, Luke, and Jules are being pushed along by the tide of the Zeds. Mm-hmm. And this is another stupid point for me. One is how far they apparently walk. Two is letting Judith go to this battle. And three is just keep walking around the fucking RV. You've been going 400 miles. You can go a couple more feet. Turn, because they did end up being fine anyway. I guess we haven't seen Elijah, but just keep going. Don't, like, Lydia, let him go. It's fine.
I can't go any they're
not
further.
They're not eating him. You lost your arm for no reason.
She really, really did. Right? Really did. God damn it. What a shit plan.
Yeah. So, but then the scene where Aaron and Jerry prop her up to chop off her arm, that was amazing.
That was classic Walking Dead. I loved it.
It was one of my favorite of these kind of things. I mean, I guess the Herschel one was really intense too, thinking back on that. But here, the way Aaron just made the scene.
Yeah, where, I would say with Herschel, he was unconscious. So it was intense, but like different intense.
Different.
Yeah.
But all the prisoners looking at, whoa, oh my God.
What the fuck?
He was going to chop his leg off. Yeah. But Aaron knows what it's like to lose an arm. So yeah, he's got this horror, but also compassion and determination all in his face. Mm-hmm. Like Ross Marquand was really good in this.
So good.
And he goes, you know what happened to me? I made it all right. Yeah. And she goes, yeah. And then he goes, this is the hardest part. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are so loved, Lydia.
Oh,
and
I'm like, cry.
This is like an amazing scene. It could be cheesy chopping somebody's arm off to avoid a zombie infection, but there's so much love and care in this horrible act that has to be
so
done.
Much.
And then with Jerry just going, I'm sorry, and whack, and ah, and then they cut to the next one. It was just so well done.
Oh, it was so well done. There were like a couple of things at play there. And I think one is about time Aaron was nice to Lydia, because I know they've been getting nicer together, but it was particularly profound because
they're tight now.
He cost her a lot. Before,
they have a lot more in common now, too.
Yeah, they've squared the circle now. the whole... Because I was like, how would you react in that scene? Because she's clearly in shock, because she just wants to keep going and keep moving.
Yeah.
But just knowing that that was going to come. And
they're
I guess
like, you know, like kind of shaking her like, hey, we got to take care of this right now.
And it's... oh, just horrible. And I guess there's still a chance she could die because of blood loss or whatever, but
she'll be fine.
She'll be fine. And I think for Lydia, who's been so unloved for so long,
mm-hmm.
and had so little affirmation of being loved from her family and from her mother, and that was just really wonderful. And yeah. Cassidy,
made me want to cry.
Oh, it was wonderful. And Cassidy McClincy deserves all of the plaudits. Absolutely. And an amazing career. She's been such a strong player throughout all the time she's been in the show, and that scene just really... there's something so sweet about Lydia, and I think she really, really nailed it. And when she woke up and just wanted to go after Elijah.
Yeah, well, that part, like, she's waking up and goes, we need to help Elijah. And I would think she'd be more like, do you have any morphine?
Or did I piss myself? Yeah. I feel like I pissed myself. Like, this did that hurts. Happen? Yeah, like, I will be a bit bummed if Jerry dies because of that, because I was a bit like, I know she's just had her arm cut off and she's really sad and she thinks she could go and get him, but also could wait a little bit, like, you don't have to go right now. But
oh, no. So we didn't see Jerry after that.
He leaves, he's like, piece of cobbler,
piece of cobbler,
and then as he literally opens the door, light floods in, and I'm like, oh god, it's the Jerry, angel of death. To the point that I'm like, they've dangled this over our heads so much. Are they actually going to do it? Is Jerry actually going to die? But I don't know. I hope not, but I am worried. I'm really worried.
I'm worried too, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think they're trying not to kill our hearts at the end.
I hope not. We'll see. I really hope not.
All right. I think it's your turn, yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking my RV stuff. I agree with everything you said. In terms of the herd, I still think our group looked really quite obvious.
especially in the daylight.
Luke and Jules, I was like, you literally just look like people with slightly dirty jackets on. Put more on. Aaron hunching up and looking so pissed off really made me laugh. I don't know, he just looked so grumpy. He's like, and then I was like, well, he has been walking since Ohio, so fair enough. Or to Ohio. They did an amazing aerial shot of the herd, and that tied into seeing the herd again later, coming to the Commonwealth. It's just a really cool way of shooting it. And I'm glad if they're saving their budget for stuff like that, that is okay.
Yeah, they see like the Jeep and the motorcycle ahead, and then the zombies are all kind of following to a point, from wide to a point, and then the camera pans up and you see the wall of the Commonwealth in the distance.
Brilliant.
And it was brilliant, but I'm like, they did walk all the way to the Commonwealth.
Yeah, I know. At that point, I was like, geez, Louise, they've walked so far. It's nice to see RVs. I feel like RVs are a real thing in the Walking Dead universe, because the group live in one in season two for a time, and then Rick and Negan have a massive confrontation in the RV that they've been using to get Maggie to Hilltop. Like, it's RVs are a part of the kind of part of the tapestry.
For me too, I was right there by that RV in season two, and I heard Jimmy, is that the guy?
Yeah, Jimmy
inside going, ah, being
eaten alive. I'm worried about Jerry. See you on the other side. Doesn't feel good.
Yeah, don't say that, right? See you on the other side. Shit. Maybe Jerry and Ezekiel.
Maybe he just literally meant the other side of the RV. I'm just going around the back. See you on the other side.
Not death or anything. Maybe they'll, like, Ezekiel and Jerry will die, and then they'll have a scene in heaven, and they'll have their own kingdom in heaven or something.
Oh my god, would you know my name? That would be the theme tune. Oh my god, I would watch that. Ezekiel, let's talk about Ezekiel. Okay. He had a scene with Negan again, because it seems to be a thing that happens every week, and I really liked it. I loved Ezekiel's delivery of what he said there. I loved And Still I Smile.
I know.
It's one of my favorite things about Ezekiel's character, talking about the dead came, I smiled, war came, I smiled, you know, cancer came, I smiled.
And Negan had a reaction to that because Lucille, his wife, had cancer, you could tell.
That really affected him. So Negan, of course, has to pick the scab and be like, why'd you do it? Why'd you stand in front of those rifles? And I've just written, fuck off, Negan, in my notes, which is just in it all the time. I have thoughts about what Negan says here, but I'll talk about Ezekiel first. So Ezekiel says, dying a martyr is too easy. Him living keeps Ezekiel from giving in to anger about what he lost. He doesn't want to live out his days in bitterness. And I think that's a really admirable sentiment and fair.
It's basically saying, if you choose to be a better person now, then I forgive you and we can be at peace.
Yeah.
And it's very Ezekiel. He's always looking towards the light and mm-hmm. wanting to be positive. And it was moving, and it was, I felt like it could be the kind of thing to actually inspire Negan. You know, mm-hmm. that's another thing Ezekiel does, try to inspire people towards their better angels. And I thought it was great.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And then in turn, he asks Negan, why did you tell the warden your name? And Negan gives what I would describe as a mixed answer. So he says, for my wife, my kid, to leave a better story about me than the one you've been telling. Yeah, okay, they have been telling that story, Negan, but it is the true story. So I'm also right. a bit like, don't do the... Anyway, so I was
He then, like, you guys have been making up all this bullshit.
So you guys have just been making me sound like a real douche. And I'm like... So then he kind of says, it was to save all you. Fine. Okay, great. But he then kind of negates that by saying it was to make my story better. And then he also says, you know, y'all are better than me if you don't.
Well, he says it was to do something right for its own sake and not to prove anything. And that's good, right? Because I did it not to prove something. So don't you think that's good?
Yeah. And can you tell my wife and child that I did it?
Yeah.
Because that proves that I'm
good.
Tell
all your friends, right? Because right. tell them I did it just for its own sake and not to prove anything.
Yeah, not to prove anything. But can you tell them that I did it so that I get brownie points? So I was a little bit like.
I mean, you got to admit, he was ready to sacrifice his life, even though it was a dumb idea. Yeah. And who knows if it would have worked. That was the point, to mm-hmm. save these people. So that means a lot. But I agree. I was sort of like, I don't know. I mean, you and I are not that easily swayed by Negan.
But I think it is also like a massive philosophical. It's sad. It's a philosophical argument. It's like, can you ever do anything truly altruistically? It's like the good feeling.
So.
No, I don't think you can. Because the good feeling you get from doing something is the reason you do it. Can you really do something good and not tell anyone you've done it? Or do you want that affirmation that you've done it and you're good? Like, it's this
even
is
if
actually
you're a kamikaze,
like,
or something, I just still feel like it's not altruistic.
No, it's not. It's not. I just think true altruism. Anyway, that aside.
But if you're a podcaster, usually that's more altruistic because you're just trying to entertain the people. So.
Exactly. Everything we do is in service of you, the audience. And we are great people for that. So he says at the end, you all are better than me. He knows that. And if you think he doesn't know that, you haven't been paying attention. And Maggie hears that. And I think that actually went a long way to redeeming Negan for me, in the sense of him saying, I know that I'm still garbage compared to you guys. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, he says that if you think I don't know that, you haven't been paying attention. Maggie should be like, what about when you said if you had it to do it all over again, you would kill us all?
Also, I mean,
I paid attention to that.
Maggie did the homework. Also, you haven't been paying attention. Does he say that in the lineup? I'm sure he says something like, if you think this has a happy ending, then you haven't been paying attention.
Oh,
but I don't know if I've made that up, but it feels like
I
a callback.
Like it is,
I Googled it just before this. Nothing came up on my phone.
Okay,
so if any listener knows, let me know, because I thought that's
might
a callback.
Be when
it's
everyone
smart.
Was saying, if you think Game of Thrones is going to have a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, you haven't paid
People
attention.
People were saying that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think Negan kind of has somewhat of a point here, but yeah, it's a little squirrely.
And I think it's in character for him to be like, but I did the good thing. Did you see the good thing I did? Like, yeah, that does track for him. But
I think I think the show wants us to be like, okay, Negan, you're right. You know? And
we've
I don't
really
quite
done
feel
this.
That. I kind of do, but more like.
I don't know if I ever will fully. Yeah, and I think I'm okay with that. I think what.
He just seems so resentful that anyone thinks bad of him. That's the thing. And if he was. People are like, God, Jason, give this guy a break. But I mean, if he really. He should just be like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Not like, okay, you guys are making the story up of me, and but you haven't been paying attention to what I did and stuff. And like, he should just be like, wow, I really fucked up, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I think it's different from like Karen and David being killed by Carol, because Carol, there was a point to that. It was a fucked up point, but it was, well, but then people say, but Negan's point was punish one person in the group to teach them stuff. But I'm like, it's different. It just is. It's,
what was the thing you were comparing it to?
Carol mercy killing Karen and David.
But that wasn't a mercy killing. She said she did that because she didn't want them to infect everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mercy for the group.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
not for them.
Yeah. And
no mercy.
I mean, that's what quarantines are for.
Yeah.
And talk to somebody else before you do that. You know?
Instigate quarantine protocol and buy some face masks. Like, don't do that. But yeah, it's that justification of things and wanting to make your story better. I can appreciate that idea of like wanting to leave a better mark on the world. But I think Negan struggles with just doing things for that. I think he so desperately wants the approval of this group of people, and he's
just
not going to get
approval.
It.
And that's he seems resentful about having to be sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that people don't see him for the great person that he really is and stuff like that. So I don't
like
know.
When he's trying with Maggie at the start, you know, that scene, yeah. Maggie is just like, we're not a we. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, because he's rightly seen, I've got a really good chance of kind of getting ahead of this if Maggie and I work together, because she's like a stone cold ass kicker.
And if to be charitable towards him, maybe thinking, let's not put anyone else in danger needlessly, you know, we can handle it ourselves.
And he's also thinking, I don't want things to be awkward when we're filming the spinoff, so it'd be good if we could just talk now.
We could spend a little time together.
Yep. Nope. So yeah, and I loved when he's like the bitch, and Maggie's like ever the feminist, Pamela, and I'm like, yeah, you call him out on that derogatory language. But no, Ezekiel, I thought was brilliant in this episode. Yeah. That moment as well, where he threw the fire extinguisher. Boy can throw. If someone had asked me to throw that, I would have lifted it up, fallen over, tried to throw it. It would have gone about 2 feet in the air and then landed on my foot. So I was very surprised that he did the whole like spinning and throwing thing. So well done, Ezekiel. Yay. But I am very worried about you.
I think Daryl's part was more impressive, but yeah.
Shooting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
Yes. Worried about who?
Ezekiel.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really we'll see. Worried. We'll see. We'll see.
What day is it? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 5 more days. We'll know. All right. I'm going to talk about Zeds in the City.
Hot town, Zeds in the City.
Back of my neck's getting awful bloody. All right. So we have this angry crowd outside Pamela. So let's call in the Zeds once again. This time it's B-17. Last time in the episode Lockdown, she called for B-14. Which was letting the Zeds come past the outer protection zones. But I guess maybe B-17 is letting him get all the way up to the walls. I don't know.
Either that or there's been two more in between that we've not seen. Mm. Someone did post in a review, I think it might have been in Vulture, that they don't understand why Pamela actually lets the Zeds out. They're like, just tell people they're out. Like, just be like, yeah. Oh no, we've had an intrusion. There's a lockdown.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe she wants them to get close enough so people hear the...
Well, they make a big deal of whatever. The hearing of them, don't they? So, yeah. Well, just get a tape. Doctor the tape, Pamela. True, apparently you have the tech. Like.
seems like it's easy. She could just hire a bunch of people to go rah, outside the walls.
There's loads of out-of-work actors there. Jesus, make the most of them.
We're putting on a play. You guys are the zombies. Pamela did not intend for them to get beyond the walls, though. At first, I wondered if she wanted them to come inside this time, but Mercer's yelling at Vickers after his partner that was actually a spy that turned on him. She's like, you need to keep protecting the city. Oh no, Pamela says the walls will hold. And I thought, oh, is that because she actually wants them to come inside? But when she's with Vickers later, Vickers says, Governor, the perimeter's been breached. Section F is overrun with rotters. We've lost 15 troopers, more civilians. Pamela, I don't understand. The dead are in the Commonwealth, Governor.
Such a good line.
That's not possible. This was a standard. This was just supposed to be a lockdown while they cleared the swarm. So that's where her head is at. Mm-hmm. But it's because they're variants. And Pamela's actually kind of right, like, about the walls should hold, because Commonwealth is different than Alexandria in that they have the resources to keep the Zeds even further away from the wall. Yeah. But in Alexandria, they don't. And there's always Zeds coming in trying to bang on the walls.
And Peter pointed out they're brick. It's one of the first settlements we've seen where it's like stone and brick rather than corrugated iron and all that jazz.
We need to find the straw one and we can have Big Bad Wolf come and try to blow them all down. But it was because of that they're variants, which is great, because we wondered if they just introduced those variants and then we wouldn't see them again until the spinoffs. But no, now we have a shitload of them and they're climbing the walls. And I kind of love it.
Yeah, and all it took was one variant to climb to completely wreck it.
Oh, that's true.
It
yes.
was so, there's something so Star Wars, like early Star Wars, about that trooper being like, woo, 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 and then hitting the switch. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that accidentally opens the gate. It's a little silly, but it's okay. And I loved how, like, they start climbing and the soldier's like, we need backup right now at the East Gate. The rotters are climbing. I repeat, the rotters are climbing the, wah! And you see the zombie's mouth right up in the camera. It's great.
So good. So good.
Biting the guy's face off and then his hand.
There is so much face biting in this season and I love it. The face biting is amazing.
And then the big gates open and the Zeds are all coming through and the camera light goes right through the crowd of Zeds.
It was brilliant. It was so good.
Yeah, really good. And then let's see, Vickers is telling Pamela, okay, if we, they're in the city, if we hold here, I guess at City Hall in the city center, we may be able to save a big portion of the city. No, pull them back to the estates. Protect the rich people. Fuck everyone else, basically.
Oh, terrible. Pretty on the nose,
but yeah, terrible.
Terrible decision making.
It's great, though. And Pamela's like, divert the swarm towards the lower ward, so towards the poor people.
Kill the
and
poor.
That'll buy you time. Yeah, and then she's like, put extra troops on my house in particular.
So bad. So, awful women.
And also, it just happens that the lower wards we learned earlier from Rosita is where they are. People are going to go through because mm-hmm. they'll be less, they'll stick out less there. There's less soldiers there because more money, more soldiers in the estates. Mm-hmm. So it's all just this perfect storm for this. And the last moments were so thrilling. All our people running through the neighborhood streets looking for an escape with these trucks, soldiers so sealing brilliant. Off the barriers. Zed's coming in. Ezekiel's like, they're pinning us in. Then Negan sees that one climbing up on top of something. What the fuck?
Perfect reaction from Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That. Love it.
Then Luke
so
and
good.
Jules come running up. I'm like, you really should have hung back. Like,
the this best is bit not... was that they nearly got shot because like hey, got guys. The gun up and they're like, no. I was like, that would be but, so oh, bittersweet. Man. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
It's Jules. It looks like, oh.
Oh, buddy, no.
That's horrible. And then Carol's like, go down the alley. And it seemed like Daryl and Judith were the only ones that made it in there, right? Those Zed's kind of overwhelmed. Like, we see Negan almost just like getting dogpiled.
If we didn't know there was a spinoff, I would be a bit worried about Negan here. But I, in general, in The Walking Dead now, I don't worry about people we see left in situations like that since Dumpster Gate. I'm like, oh no, they'll be okay.
Yeah, so. They're fine. And also spinoff.
Yeah.
But all that stuff, I fucking loved. And I also love that all our characters are together facing this, and the episode's called Family and everything.
No, it was
so
brilliant.
It's really good.
It, bringing everyone together like that in that kind of peril was just wonderful. And I think Commonwealth-wise, I'll carry on with that because I had some points about Mercer and Pamela. So we have a kind of nothingy scene where Max and Yumiko are waiting in the safe house and Eugene is dropped off by Mercer. And he is told to stay put, which in The Walking Dead always means that the person will stay put and won't go anywhere and nothing will happen. So that's not great. So Commonwealth is just a show of incompetence. Pamela's like, incompetence! she's very angry. Mercer, I've written in my notes, is being sly and fly. She tells him to do your job, Michael. And then when he leaves, she asks Vickers to keep an eye on him with orders for Eugene to be shot on sight.
Well, right there when she's talking to Mercer, he's challenging her a little bit, talking about the people who are reported missing and stuff, you know? And I'm like, you may have just drawn some extra suspicion onto yourself that cost Judith her life.
Yep. There. Well done, Mercer.
I mean, she's not
going to
die.
Nice move.
But yeah.
Nice move.
Like, what was the point of that?
What was that? And she also, Pamela says she wants to find some bones to throw them. And I thought that was quite funny, the idea that the Zeds are actually bones literally getting sent towards them. Miko and Mercer do the like most cack-handed fake interrogation where like I have to say I don't think Yumiko was a very good actor in that scene.
That's a good actor playing a not very
yeah
good
I know I was like, oh, Elder Matsura is doing a good job of playing a bad actor. Here's what I think, and I think you'll probably disagree with me. I think Mercer and Princess might have had a little plan. I don't know. But the fact that she raises him on the radio under the name Aurora makes me think they at least discussed what would happen if she was sent away and how she could contact him again. I don't think they planned, you'll go to the work camp and then I'll help you and blah, blah, blah. But I think they did speak about a way to keep in touch or a way to contact one another.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could see that.
When she says, on a train heading back to you, I've just put a little love heart. the exchange where she says, change things, take Pamela down, think you'd be okay with that. His response is the best ever.
But that was a great moment because first off, when Yumiko and Mercer are together and she's like, why didn't you tell us? Mm-hmm. And he goes, it was safer for all of you. And I thought, okay, Lucy's right. Mercer had already been planning something. But then I realized you're wrong because actually
every time.
What she meant was, why didn't you tell me that you were going to save Eugene?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, it was safer for all of you. And now he's just trying to get them out. You guys need to leave. Yumiko's the one who says, we lost in court, but we were heard. People are angry. We just need to push them past the tipping point. So she's the one pushing the rebellion here. Yeah. Then he nods and goes, first, I need to gather enough troops willing to make a move on Pamela. So that means he hasn't done that yet. He doesn't do that part yet, right?
You think you could have taken some numbers before that.
Yeah. So I went back to my earlier position where I think that whole episode was about Mercer deciding when Eugene gave the speech. And then here, when Mercer's talking to Princess and she's like, he goes, what are you planning to do? Change things, take Pamela down, think you'd be okay with that? And the pause is because she doesn't know. Mm. I mean, I think you knew that, right? She doesn't know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
And she's like, please, please, please. And he goes, yeah. And it's like, then the music comes in.
So boom, good.
And it's like a big heart feeling moment.
So yes. Good. But then like, he let me down a little bit. He's like, all those prisoners, they're witnesses. If you take them, yeah. I'll have legal grounds for takedown. I'm like, no.
Just fight, just dude.
Fucking
come
fight
on.
Them, mate.
Rip
fight,
it up.
Fight,
fuck
fight.
It up, dude.
Fuck shit up. Fuck it up. And I loved his scene with Max at the depot where he's trying to get soldiers sent out. And he talks about giving hotheads an excuse to start trouble when he's giving her a fake row. But my favorite kind of coded thing that he said is, my girlfriend's coming back and she's bringing her friends with her. And I was like, she's your girlfriend. It's so cute. Wonderful.
My girlfriend's back. I know. Gonna be in trouble.
Hey now, hey now. She's bringing Zed. And they're going to eat all of you. So that was wonderful. And his choice to go quietly
with Vickers.
Was painful to watch because it's like Cassandra, isn't it? He's telling them what's going to happen. He's like, you know, you need to reinforce this. You need to do that. You need to do this. And no one is listening. And he was right.
Yeah, he was right.
So yeah, Mercer on good form.
So now he's in captive.
Yep, he is. But I think Vickers is going to turn after this episode.
Oh, because of
when she was Pamela too horrified.
Everybody
so
in
Vickers. Arrests Mercer and then she goes to see Pamela and Pamela's like, save the rich people, and Vickers is like, but that will leave hundreds of poors. And she's like, yeah,
those
I don't
are my
care.
Friends, you know.
Yeah. Fuck them. So I think Vickers will release Mercer. I think
you're right.
I think that's what's gonna happen there.
Yep. Anything else?
Mercer? No.
Yeah. No.
None. Nothing. Just he's great.
Yep. I agree with that. So I had a point on what our people are doing. I think we pretty much covered it. Let's see. They're going to get the kids. Rosita says, let's bring all the prisoners, get Mercer on our side. It kind of reminds me of, did you watch Stripes with Bill Murray?
No, I've never seen it.
He keeps getting fired from his job, so he joins the army, and then that becomes a bad experience too, and he's like, oh man, forget that. I got to get back to my own life. I get my job back. Da da da. Like, it'll be easy. No problem.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, we'll just get Mercer on our side, even though we've been trying to get him on our side forever and it never
worked.
It'll
be fine.
But actually, she's right. And then she's saying the prisoners and Mercer will take out Pamela while Rosita and them go through the lower ward to get to the children's house.
Yeah.
Which they've found out from Wikipedia where it is through Tyler. And I guess that's it, right? Just take out. But then what stymies them is Pamela brings the swarm in basically just to have a lockdown. That's her move. So she can sort of cool the temperature of the riot again. And then they come, they're supposed to meet Mercer at the opening or something, but Mercer has to deal with the swarm. So she tells Max and Yumiko to meet them, but they're not there. And I guess they didn't get there in time because then all the people, Negan, Daryl, Carol, Judith, Maggie, Rosita, Gabriel, Ezekiel, Kelly, Connie, Magna, Princess, Diane, Tyler, and all these prisoners, that scene where they're right next to the troopers that you were saying, but the troopers can't see them for some reason. They're like, oh, we can't just wait forever. And so they just bust their way in. I didn't really understand why. Any go. Anyway, it doesn't really matter that much.
They were waiting for them outside Union Station. Oh, it's because they locked Union Station.
Okay.
The doors were locked. They couldn't get
inside. Is that what it was? The station? That's where the firefight was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my bet, is they locked the station so they couldn't get in. That'd be my guess anyway.
Okay. All right, I'm done with that. Anything else?
Let's just have a little look. Eugene looked well like Anakin Skywalker in his black hoodie. When he was popping out from behind the thing, I was like, that is quite a look. Rosita and Gabriel having that scene together on the bus, on the train has me really worried about both of them. Especially yes. when they Gabriel like was like, in you, yes, my faith. I was like, oh,
there
no.
There was heat between them. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they might want to get back together. Rosita's like, I'm glad you're here. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. One or both of you are going to die now.
Yeah, I'm really worried about them both. And yeah, I'm worried about it.
It was a nice scene, though.
Aside it was a lovely scene.
On any other show, it would just be like,
I would never have bought them as a couple, but the two of them really, really sell it. I loved the scene with Tyler in the train car with Princess, Connie, Kelly, and Magna. I loved it for a number of reasons. One is it was a reference to Splinter, which was one of the pandemic episodes where mm-hmm. Princess is in the train car and beats up Tyler, I think, or at least overpowers him, which is why he stopped being a trooper.
He got fired and then he got a low paying job and couldn't pay for his sisters and kids and got disaffected and joined this rebellion. So he was our first entry into the fact that there's all these people who are unhappy.
Just our group fucking everything up for everyone.
And so, yeah, it's good for him to come back in the end. And when Magna's like, hey, society threw you away, you were desperate, mad, I've been there. Just a nice little thing. Yeah. And then kill him off.
Because he's a red shirt. And it's quite the killing off because it's like, pff, pff, oh, and I'm like, wow, he did not last long. It was nice. I loved the makeshift radio and him helping out. And Magna drawing on her own experience of being imprisoned. Connie and Kelly being sweet. We got some resolution to at least who the names are. Because Connie says she's glad he's there because they've been mm-hmm. trying to find him. Mm-hmm. So I think we can infer from that the lists of names were work camp people.
Yeah.
And talking,
he was on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And talking about the way you can fix your mistakes, because Tyler feels bad about... Did he hold Magna hostage at the ball? He held
Max.
Some... Max, that's it. So knife he feels point, bad yeah. about that. Mm-hmm. And they're very forgiving and say you can fix your mistakes. Pamela didn't listen, but the people in the Commonwealth will.
You just probably ask Max that, but yeah.
Yeah, Max is like, actually, I'm still not over it. So that was another cracking train scene. And Connie and Kelly, I just love them. And there's a point in the shootout where... Connie is trying to help someone and tries to pull him into safety and his head explodes because someone shoots him and it is so gross.
And she's just like sitting there with blood on her.
It must be horrible to be impaired of hearing in a gunfight. That must feel so overwhelming and strange.
Yeah,
it was really sad. Oh God, and I've just seen in my notes that I forgot to mention earlier with Judith and Carol and Daryl, Judith talking about her mum and having not heard from her. And saying about Carl, he died saving people. I'm like, oh no, that's what is gonna happen. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, being not having hearing in a gunfight, I wonder if you can feel the vibrations
you
of the
gunfire.
You must
feel the explosions and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And another bit from Judith in the train that's just come back to me is talking about wishing I had more time with Carl, wishing with more time just to remember. And I think that idea of the time to remember things as a luxury is important. So yeah, just a little bit from me for that point about the train and kind of the scenes that we had there with Tyler and Negan and Ezekiel.
Good. I don't have any more main points. I just have notes.
Same.
Okay, I'll do mine first.
The
train running over the Zed was
amazing.
Pretty gratuitous and totally awesome.
Wonderful.
Why not? It's like a little, like, on this show, it's just adding a little environmental color.
Oh, it's like a nice scene shift.
I have a confession to make here near the end, which is that I never really liked the Walking Dead theme song that much.
Oh, the...
It's just kind of boring to me. It doesn't do anything
for me. It just makes
me
stressed out.
It's a little nostalgic, but
yeah. At the
I
end
was expecting
of it,
more from Barry McCree. He's done great with the music of the show, but
his Lord of the Rings was amazing.
Yeah,
so.
Well, he was Battlestar Galactica.
Someone pointed out that the music at the very start of the episode is the same music that played in Rick and Michonne's final episodes. So I don't know if that's them fucking with us about Judith.
The new additional.
No, after that ends, and or over Judith's voiceover, the music playing is from that. And I'm like,
nice.
Oh, shit.
The fact that I was thinking about how they named Daryl's spinoff Daryl Dixon, but Negan and Maggie's is called Dead City.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are both ongoing series, right?
Oh, right.
But the fact they named it Dead City and not like Negan and Maggie makes me think one of them could die in it.
Maggie,
Megan. Megan. Yeah, right? One of them could die. Like, especially if there's a cast, they establish a cast of characters that we start to care about. One of those two could get killed off and this series could keep going.
Agreed.
So we won't have that plot armor factor necessarily on that show. And let's see. I thought we'd talk a little bit about predictions for the finale. One we just said is that either Rosita or Gabriel may buy it. Yes. Because of that one scene. We're also afraid for Ezekiel and or Jerry.
Honestly, Luke too.
Luke too, yeah.
Yeah, just because he's turned off again. And...
you should have stayed away, Luke.
Yeah.
Wait for everything to die down. I'm sure they'll handle it. Then you can come back. Judith, we think, will survive, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I would be so bummed out if she died. Especially if Carl was still alive, I might feel differently in terms of, like, you know...
That's why you have two kids, so if one of them dies, you'll still have another one.
That's true. An ear and a spare, as we call it in England. Like, and Rick had three, and he'd be down to one.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm just having a look to see if I've got it, because I have some predictions, too.
The last one I had is that Rick will make an appearance.
He has to. Yeah. So in terms of notes for this one, I think I've got everything. I really enjoyed the gunfight, generally. Pamela's pantsuit. She wore a great pantsuit for a gunfight. I did laugh. I wrote in my notes, this doesn't feel right. And then Daryl's like, something ain't right. I'm like, I told you that. We just literally said the same thing. I was sad that Magna and Miko didn't kiss. It felt like there was a kiss moment there. Mm. But this is like, Magna, Miko. And I'm like, no time for lesbianism. And then
but they're not back together, right? But
you I just thought there was a very like meaningful moment. So they're heading for the clinic, as we've mentioned. I love that Connie and Kelly signed sickos. And this sort of leads me into one of my first predictions, which is that Jerry or Elijah is going to close the gate. Because we don't know where Jerry and Elijah are. We know that they were in the herd. So they will likely be following that route into the city. Mm. So surely one of them can get up and close that gate. Because it pissed me off that none of the other troopers did that. Mm-hmm. I was like, why isn't somebody going to close the gate? Like, that is... Anyway, obviously everyone's very stressed out. Anything else? I think that covers it. So for predictions, yeah, one of them will close the gate. I think Judith will live... I think we'll see Rick and or Michonne, but most likely Rick. I don't see us getting out without any deaths. I am worried about Aaron, Ezekiel, Rosita, Gabriel, Jerry, Elijah maybe, Luke
Pretty
and Jules.
Pretty much everyone that doesn't have a spinoff, huh? Except for Judith.
Yeah, I think so. Peter asked if I was worried about Dog, and then I said Dog's a traitor because he picked Leah, and that's the end of it.
Never forget.
But I think if people are giving feedback for this episode, it would be interesting to hear people's predictions as well, because now's the time to put your theories out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's hear your theories. And when we do our live show next Sunday, if I get a chance to speak before the episode starts, which I think I will, I'll ask the audience what
Deadpool.
They think too.
I can't bring myself to do a Deadpool. I feel really bad, but I'm sort of like, I want to do one, but then I'm like, no, I'll be too sad, whoever it is. So yeah.
No, we won't do that.
We won't do it.
All right. That's it. We'll take a little break. There's a bit more to come. Stay with us.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
Oh man, we won't have that
no,
anymore.
No, don't. I'm too
it's
sad.
Walking Dead cast. All right, Deadline interviewed Angela Kang. I'm just going to read a couple of these. They said, one of the many things about these final episodes... And I mean this as a compliment. It's been very much a slow burn, very much storytelling, layered upon storytelling. So give us a sense of where you see The Walking Dead at now the penultimate episode has been aired. She says, I think that in this block of episodes, there was a lot of work that we put into where these characters are, relationships that have conflict in them, all of them thinking about the past and what their future might be. So that really kind of does lend itself to just more character-driven, emotional storytelling. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, just on a practical level, we had to save money to do it like a really big finale. So there's a practical reason for that as well. She probably could have just said that.
Yeah, right. Like, tell us the truth, Angela. Jeez.
Don't beat around the bush. 1 week out, what can you tell us about the finale? Well, Rick comes back and saves the day, and then he becomes the leader of the Commonwealth.
And Lance is resurrected. Oh, sorry. That was another prediction I didn't say. Lance being a variant. I've been seeing a lot of theories doing the round that Lance comes back as a variant. I'm like, oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I want to see Zombie Lance. No, 1 week out, what can we tell us about the finale? She says, the finale, I think just everybody should be prepared for a really emotional ride. It's a roller coaster. And they say, any surprises? Definitely surprises. I think there's some surprises in there. And it's also just incredible performances by our cast. Like just some of the best work that some of them have done on the show. That's saying a lot.
Wow.
And she goes, and that's saying a lot because there's such incredible acting from our cast, like on a regular basis. Cool.
Amazing.
They said, and will the finale be set up? Will the finale set up the spinoffs or are they separate beasts? She says, it's a little of both. The approach we took was like, we've got to close this chapter in some way, but it's closing a chapter with leaving a door open. It's kind of what I thought, yeah. You know?
That makes sense.
That's it for that interview. I also want to mention there's an hour-long special called The Walking Dead, The Making of the Final Season.
Ooh.
It aired, I think, before this week's episode on AMC, and it's available on AMC Plus. I haven't Brilliant. Had a chance to watch it, but it says cast and crew reflect on the series and how they work together to bring the show to its conclusion. Should be cool.
That'll be fun.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. Insider.com had an article about props that the Walking Dead actors stole from the set or got. I think we already mentioned Kari Payton took his sword and named it Captain Jack Sparrow.
Excellent.
Josh McDermott says, I was given the mullet, which I was very excited about. Taylor Knight, our department head in the hair department, had it wrapped in a little box. And Tiffany Simpson, who did my hair for years, had facilitated that because she knew I was going to steal it. She went to Taylor Knight and said, hey, he's going to steal it. So either leave your door unlocked because he's going to break in or just wrap it up for him.
Excellent. Excellent. You have no choice. Just how you do this.
That's right. Yeah. How do you want to do it? The nice way or the not so nice way? Nadia Hilker says, all my weapons, they're going to arrive in Europe very soon. I can't wait to hang all my knives and war hammers on my walls.
Oh, yeah, of course, she's in Germany, I think.
So I guess they're sending it to her. Michael James Shaw said, in an ideal world, I would have taken the axes and mounted them on my wall. AMC, if you hear this, send me some axes.
Oh.
I did get a Commonwealth ammo box. It's a metal ammo box with the Commonwealth stamp on the side. That was a gift from props, actually. Love you guys at props. Oh, give him an axe. Come on.
Give him an axe or those his butt panel.
Yeah, his butt panel and his axe.
That would be great.
As well. Have you noticed his axe? It looks like a cosplay kind of a thing. It's really cool. Angel Theory says, I took a whole bunch, including Kelly's slingshot and hoodies. I just had them for so many years, it just felt weird leaving them and not taking them back home with me.
So weird to think of her having been on the show for years, but it has been 4 or 5 years now.
Well, she came in season 9.
The episode Rick left.
Yeah, and when was that? 2018, maybe?
Yeah, so 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lauren Ridloff says, they actually told me that I couldn't take anything from set. I wanted to take some souvenirs, and they're like, no, you can't take anything. And then I learned that everybody took something from the set. I was like, this isn't fair. Word got out about that, and they fixed it. They asked me what I wanted from the set. I was like, I would like the ASL book that Daryl had in his back pocket in season 10.
Aww.
And all of the sheriff hats. No, she didn't say that. I don't want Kaylee Fleming to have any. No. They sent it to me, and now I have it, the ASL book. That's one of my favorite things from the show from set, so I'm happy now.
That's so nice.
Ross Marquand says, I took some of the Commonwealth handkerchiefs. There were cool handkerchiefs that had the Commonwealth insignia emblazoned. And he told Insider in February he would have liked to have taken home the mace arm. He said, I'm not going to lie, I've definitely developed some shoulder issues and back issues from wearing that all the time. So
he
I feel like I've earned it.
He really looked like he was in pain in the herd. So, yep.
Yeah, that's tough, man. God, that's got to be a pain, literally. Kaylee Fleming had said in September 2021, I want the hat so bad. Me and my mom have been talking about that. We've been talking about the costume team. Talking to the costume team because there are a few hats just in case we have a few backups. I don't see why we couldn't take one. That would be such a cool souvenir. I'm sure she got one.
Yeah, she must have. So.
And last, Josh Hamilton said, I took home my coin, my flipping coin.
Yay. And Lucy's phone number, which he's yet to use.
Oh, come on, Josh. I'm glad he got the coin. He can use it whenever he needs to make a decision.
Absolutely.
We have a little special section this week because I thought, why not? I had posted Silver Linings of the Zombie Apocalypse. Climate change solved. Now you go. So other people had answers.
Amazing. I guess they're pretty carbon neutral. I'm just wondering if their body's decaying would let out any kind
would
of gas.
Would let it out? Oh, good point. Buzzkill.
No, well, but then it would be finite, wouldn't it? Because they'd end eventually.
Yeah.
Okay, Diana Driscoll says, no more worrying about mowing the lawn.
I don't worry about that.
Great.
Anyway.
Excellent.
We have rocks in our front yard. Mm-hmm. Monica McGuire says, no more high gas prices.
Indeed.
Or low gas prices.
Jonathan Buckalil says, lots of chocolate pudding. That's me and my Jonathan voice. It's not great, but there good. You go.
Thomas D. Sloniker says, always being the best looking person in the room. Oh. I don't know, man. Magna, like.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Ezekiel's pretty damn good looking. Thomas, I'm sure, is a good looking guy, though.
I'm sure. We'll see. Catcraft says, survivalists finally get the respect they deserve and become the cool kids from school and rock stars.
Nice.
She also says, we'll discover the deliciousness of owls and dog food.
I guess that's from season 3.
Yeah.
Penny Lennox had a few. She says, before season 11 of The Walking Dead, I would have said goodbye to bullshit social classes. No more local TV news talking about Tom Brady's every decision like it's breaking news. I think he's a football player. I don't even know.
I don't know. I think so. Sports.
People are
maybe.
Laughing at me. I saw on TV, it means nuclear bombs are not a big deal.
Yep. True. You can survive anything.
And reality TV gone, to which I answered, unless you're friends with Althea. And she says that's more of a zombie-mentary. So that's fair enough. Yeah.
I love that. Neil James says, far less traffic. However, there would definitely be an increase in pedestrian traffic. It would be like waiting for parade to pass you every time you run into a herd. Like that.
Beth Nichols says overpopulation, but I guess she means an end to overpopulation, or
I think so. Yeah. Nan Imus says the work week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It would be hard work.
Oh, yeah. You're 24/7, 7 days a week.
Steve Barr says, that's the downside to me. Mm-hmm. Steve Barr says, you finally learn what plants in your area are edible. And Wendy says, one way or another. He also said, at some point, you will know how many walkers you have killed, how many people you have killed, and why.
I always wonder that. It would be good to get some certainty on that.
On why you killed people?
Yeah,
or
I did. Because sometimes I just,
plants.
I mean, both. Sometimes I just kill people and I don't know why. And then when I'm eating grass from my garden, I'm like,
it makes
I don't
me
know.
Feel like
it's
I want to kill
edible.
Someone.
Yeah. Typhane Thabolt says, no more podcasts. Not a silver lining. I just realized. Aww.
Randy Stevenson said, getting to explore wherever you want. You got the obvious fun choices like malls, but also try to get into places like museums, Area 51, and Fort Knox. Mm-hmm. Finally, a trampoline park, and not have all the parents wondering why a grown man has broken his leg and was supposed to be entertainment for children.
I think Randy would do well in Zombieland.
Let the zombies loose in the trampoline park.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious. We should do that. Jodie Langridge says, not having to follow the latest fashion trends. Oh, hang on. I've never done that anyway. Girl, same. And secondly, the joy of watching that annoying person at work finally get bit.
That's from Tales of the Walking Dead.
It is.
Neil James says, free cardio.
Alma Contreras says, no more media.
Oh, we like the media.
We do love media.
Dabalino Bob Grippy says, let's be real here. No more life-crushing debt and no more spam phone calls, text messages, and or emails. Good points.
Very true, Dabalino Bob. Kelly Burgess says, being an introvert would be a good thing.
Megan Dively-Lehman says, much easier to control kids' screen time.
Fair.
All right, that is our show, episode 491. Thanks for listening, everybody. Should we do more episodes or just end it here? I feel like we've done enough, right?
Yeah, that's, I think we just end good. Forever. That's it.
Okay,
we're
thanks
done.
For listening,
bye,
everybody.
Everyone.
Bye.
Get bit or something.
Delete your podcast.
Delete. It's done. Don't subscribe. Unsubscribe. Don't subscribe. Who cares?
No, we're kidding.
Please come back.
Don't do it. If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows, including Dead to Me, Strange and Indeed.
Yeah. Dead to Me starts, the third and final season starts in 2 days.
Ooh.
Or two or three days. And we've been talking a lot about on that podcast about how Christina Applegate, the star co-star with Linda Cardellini, has MS. Mm. And she's been battling. It just came on in the last year or something, and it's gotten pretty severe. She uses a cane now. And they were like, okay, we just won't do the show, or we'll do like a movie or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, nope, we're doing a full season. I'm mm-hmm. going to power through. I want to give it to the fans.
She's amazing.
Yeah. And so that's
she had a double mastectomy as well years back. She's an amazing woman.
And that's part of the plot of the show. They've put that into her character too.
Brilliant.
And she really, I mean, you should watch the show. It's got such good performances.
Maybe I'll have some time to know.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to know what you think. Yeah, that's Dead to Me. But also always go over to Strange Indeed and check out Midnight Club, which has been really fun with Paik and Rima.
Yay.
Next up on this podcast, it's listener feedback for this episode, season 11, episode 23, Family. So get your voice messages and your other messages in.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Gareth Penman, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. Thank you, Gareth.
And that's Gareth from Terminus, right? The man with the pen?
Cannibal, yeah.
Gareth Penman.
It might be with his clipboard. Thank you to everyone who's been hopping on Patreon and staying on Patreon. I appreciate it. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening. Don't get bit, Cararex.